This morning, Brian is going to be presenting for what took place at Challenge, and next week I will be back and we'll be dealing with the sermon in the Lord's Prayer, which I'm really excited about, Deliver Us from the Evil One. So, Deliver Us from the Evil One. So, Brian?
Challenge, for those who are not familiar, is the Evangelical Free Church Youth Conference. I only have one hand, so it doesn't work. Hopefully it doesn't roll. We'll find out if the piano's level. Challenge the EFCA Youth Conference, where you have students that come together from all over the U.S., from Hawaii to Florida, from California to Connecticut. There's just students from all over. And this year it was in Kansas City. And when you have a youth conference like this, as a youth leader, you know, okay, what's going to happen? You know, what is God going to do, and how is God going to work? And it's always fun for me to watch God work. And so what I'd like to do before I bring the students up and we show the video is I'd like to give you 9 sessions in about 10 minutes. So hopefully you guys are ready for this, and hopefully I can do a good enough job communicating clearly. But the theme was restored. And what the goal was to give the students a overview picture of where they fit within the story of God. And I think what happens is, as believers, the longer we are in the faith, sometimes we forget the part that we play. And it's important for us to remember why we're here. Why did God create us? And so they started with creation. And we all know the creation story, Genesis 1 and 2. In the beginning, God created. He spoke everything into existence. And the question that comes up in everyone's mind is, okay, why did God create us? Did he need us? And the answer is no. God created us to bring him glory. He didn't create for us. He created us to bring glory and honor to him. He is the central main character in the story of God, and we play a part, but we are in no way what this story is about. And I think that's huge for us, because we're selfish. Well, I'm selfish. I mean, I think some people are. Well, most people. Okay, all people are selfish. And what happens is when we live life, we start to focus on, hey, this is about me. No, it's not. You're not the star. You're not the person that this story was written about. It's all about God. He was in the beginning. He created for us to bring glory to him. He's in the end, and we will glorify him. He's in the beginning and the end, and we play a part. We are important, but we are not the central character. So this first session was all about how God is the center. God needs to be the center that our world revolves around, that our life revolves around. And so you will hear comments like that in this video that's coming up. So it went from creation to separation. And we've talked a lot about this, how God created and everything was good. And then Genesis 3, separation happens. Sin comes in. Death through sin. And it separates us. And I think what happens, though, is we talk about sin, but I don't think we understand the gravity of our sin. In some ways, I wish that we didn't know about Christ and the cross, because then we could truly understand the depths of our sinfulness. When I was in high school, I played football, and on our football field, there was just this one patch of dirt, and I don't know why. It was just this one patch. Well, you know, we were practicing, and anyone that's played football, you get really hot. And, you know, it's humid in Western New York. And so I was hot, and it started raining. We're like, thank you. Well, then all of a sudden, there's this mud patch. You get, you know, 50 guys, and they see mud. What do they want to do? They want to slide in it. So we started sliding in the mud, and it was awesome. You know, full pads, everything. You're just going for it, right? Well, one time I forgot to put my mouthpiece in, and I slid, and it got all over the mouthpiece. So when I put it in, it was just, oh, dirt in my mouth. Well, then, you know, when you're done sliding and we go to take off the pads, there's just mud all over the pads. It's like you squeeze the foam and mud's coming out. And I take off and my shirt is all dirty with mud, and my pants are mud. And see, what happens is we forget the depths of our sin and that it covers all of us. And that if we could see our sin, we would be covered from head to toe in our sin. And we need to sit in it for a little bit and recognize it. Because when we forget how sinful we are, we forget how great a cost that it cost Christ his life. He paid a penalty that we could not pay. And so it went from creation to separation, recognizing our sin and how it separates us from God, and how a lot of times we distort sin and we water down sin, and I'm not lustful, I'm just passionate. I'm not prideful, I'm just driven. We water down sins and we try and make them sound pretty. But we don't see the disgustingness of sin. That even the least, the littlest of sin, the littlest of white lie is disgusting to God. In fact, Isaiah says that our good works, like what we bring to the table, because a lot of times we think, oh, we're not bad people. Like, I'm not as bad as them. Okay, sin. Okay. But just bear with me. So we think, oh, I'm not as bad as they are. Our good works are like filthy rags compared to God. Because God is the standard, others are not. So when we start to look at how good we are, we have to start with God and end with God, because He's the only one who is good. So creation, separation. We are separated from God because of our sin, and we need to recognize the stain that sin has on us. But God doesn't leave us there. God didn't take creation, throw it in the dumpster, and start over. He gives a promise. And that's next. Creation, separation, promise. Promise of what? Promise of a coming Messiah. Promise that He will restore what has been broken. And it starts in Genesis, where it talks about the offspring of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And it's just referencing that one day Christ is going to proclaim victory over sin and death. So we have this promise that we can live in and that we can hold on to. And if God hasn't given up on His creation, He's not going to give up on us. Creation, separation, promise. And then this next session is a session that I don't think you would find at any other youth conference. I don't know if you'd find it at any other conference. It was the session on silence, where you had 5,400 people sitting in an auditorium where they are ready to listen to a speaker, and it was silence for 15, 20 minutes with things to be read, sitting in silence, because there was 400 years where there was silence. But one of the things that was talked about is that just because God is silent doesn't mean He's not at work. In fact, God is always at work. You may not understand what He's doing, but He's always at work. And just because you don't hear Him doesn't mean He's not active. Creation, separation, promise, silence, rescue. We have this sin problem. Jesus had to come. Jesus had to die, because without the shedding of blood, there could be no forgiveness of sins. And so there had to be this perfect sacrifice. And Jesus came to die in our place, the death we should have died. And He came to rescue us from ourselves, from our own sinfulness, from death and destruction. And how we have to surrender to Him. We have to put our faith and trust in Him, that He died in our place, that He has forgiven us of our sins, And he's made a way for us to have relationship with him because sin separates. Jesus restores. He rescues us and brings us back. So we are rescued through Jesus. But we weren't rescued just to sit there. We are rescued to community, creation, separation, promise, silence, rescue, rescue to community. We are rescued to be with each other, pointing each other to Jesus, running together. We were created to be known by God and to be known by others. We are rescued to community, not to separation, not to loneliness, not to living in our heads, but to community. See, what happens is sin distorts reality. When reality is distorted, it starts to come in from here. When I have people speaking into my life, when I'm living in community, I'm not living alone and I'm not listening to lies. Because the voice when I'm alone is a lot louder in my head, but when I'm walking with people, they can balance out the lies from the enemy. Separation separates us from community. When we are rescued by Christ and we put our faith and trust in Him, we are rescued to community. We don't have to do it on our own anymore. Not only are we rescued to community, we are rescued to live the story. See, this story of God has been going on for 6,000-8,000 years, depending on where you want to put it. I don't know. But it's been going on, and God has been using His created people to proclaim His story from the garden to today. And we are called by God to live the story. And that means we love others. The speaker that spoke did, he's from Tacoma. It was awesome. And I got to talk to him a little bit, and it was like, yeah, West Coast being represented. But he was talking about how there was this lady that was his next door neighbor that was really mean. She didn't really like him. And he was trying to share Jesus with her. And she didn't want any of it. And so it wasn't until he started loving her that things changed. We need to love others. We need to love and show people that Christ has changed us. So that when we talk about Christ, it is not abnormal because they've seen Christ in us. Creation, separation, promise, silence, rescue to community, rescue to live the story, rescue to tell the story. See, we cannot live this Christian faith and not tell people about it. You know, for years you hear, preach the word or preach the gospel, and if you have to use words, well, the problem is preach. The guy that spoke talked about how preaching is a proclamation. Proclamation has to be spoken. And what you're speaking is the good news. News is something that you talk about, not something that you live out. So we cannot proclaim the love of Christ, proclaim the gospel without using words. We need to live it so that our lives reflect what we're teaching, so there is integrity. A lack of integrity is when you say one thing and you do another. Well, we have to be people of integrity, which means we live out the gospel and we preach the gospel and they align. And we have to use words. We are called by God to use words. And we need to. We need to live it. We need to teach it. We need to speak it. Last. Creation, separation, promise, silence, rescued. Rescue to community, rescue to live the word, or the story. Rescued to tell the story. Restored. 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 One day, you and I will be with Jesus, and we will be complete in Him. We will be restored to the original, to what He created us to be, to bring glory and honor to Him. See, the whole idea is that we have to live with the end in sight. We have to live with the end in sight. And in order for us to live with the end in sight, we have to have a proper perspective. And that starts at creation, understanding that we were created to bring glory and honor to God, not to ourselves. Yes, sin separates us, but it doesn't have to thwart what God wants to do. Because He's promised us that we will be rescued through Jesus. And so because we are rescued through Jesus, we can live in community. We can live the story. We can tell the story. And we can live with the end in sight. We have to have the proper perspective. And it starts at creation and goes all the way to the end of Revelation. And you see that heart from Paul. I love this passage, and I read it all the time. Because it just puts everything in the proper perspective. Everything fits in place. Not that I've already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect. But I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. The past is behind me, and I press towards the future. 9 sessions, the whole story of God, understanding that we play a part, and we have to understand separation and have to ask the question, how has my sin hindered what God is trying to do in and through me, and how God is trying to use me in community and living the story and telling the story? And am I focused on living with the end in sight? With that, Greg?
I told Nate that he needed to get a clip of me going like this while they were doing the Doe a Deer. I had no clue what that was from until he told me. So call me uncultured. All right, hey, if you went to challenge, come on up here. Yeah, JJ, Vinny, you guys came too. Tatum's trying to get as far away from me as she possibly can. The first thing, guys, is there was a clip of a really awesome, like really clean house that didn't need any work on it. So can someone explain why we were working on that house? Come on. Thank you.
So there was this really cool guy here, and he realized that because we love God, we need to fight for Him. And so his whole goal was to have houses set up that people, no matter what their background, can come in and find out who God is and be restored. And so we were cleaning up a house, and I think he wanted it to be kind of his office for all the houses.
They have 3 houses, and there's a men's house, a women's house, it's a halfway house, and then this house was going to be the office, and his family was going to live on the third floor. Morgan, you went to a different house than we did, and you got to meet someone. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that? Okay. 30 seconds, 20 seconds, I'm just kidding.
So she, like, let other women in that, like, had gone to jail or stuff and had just gone out of rehab, and they got to come in and they got to live there for, like, a month until they could get, like, money.
Okay, and tell about the lady that was there that you met, like.
She had just gotten out of rehab, and she had lived there until the woman that had owned it wanted to sell it. And then when she did wanted to sell it, she bought it because she had enough money, and then she restarted it again.
Yeah, so it's awesome. It's an awesome story of a community saying, hey, we want to look out for those in the community. And so Challenge came along, and there were 3 houses they worked on, and it was just, it's a beautiful thing. Challenge also, there was a city park that just had just been demolished, and they pulled out hundreds of tires, which would have taken weeks and weeks and weeks. So the teams from Challenge really cleaned up this community place where they could, you know, there could be some community pride in, and just we were able to share the love of Jesus with our actions, and we could tell them, hey, this is why we're doing this. So that's awesome. Jason, Gretchen, like, I get to always talk every year from a youth pastor perspective, and it's rarely that I get parents to go with. And so I want to hear from you. Just, you guys got, your kids went to Challenge in New Orleans, and then you guys came this year. And so, you know, tell me from a parent's perspective about your experience. It could be you or Jason. I love you, buddy.
Love you too, Brian. I guess I realize why they enjoyed the first one so much. I think one of the biggest keys, and even for me being there, I think every adult should go to a youth conference personally, was just getting removed from your everyday life and having a full week to hear God's word and, you know, great presentation from speakers and music. But really just, you know, for these guys, probably just no social media really, and just kind of can clear the mind and just hear the fundamentals of the gospel, the full, and this was great, it was the full story. So I think it could hit anyone, no matter where you were in life. I just, even with my own kids, I could say, oh yeah, that probably really helped them, that really helped me, that probably helped her. You know, you could just see the growth coming from that. And just the service, but really I think just kind of getting away, which you get from a lot of conferences, but it was really powerful.
One thing I want to add is that it just reminded us that God is so much fun. God is not a God who sits in the pews and just, you know, and no fun. God is awesome. He's fun. Hanging out with these people makes God fun again. And he is fun. So that's my two cents.
All right. Tyler said on Tuesday that he had something to share. Go to a good tie.
All right. So one thing that I got out of Challenge was that what Brian said with creation was that you need to put God in the center of your life. So God's kind of like the sun and we're the different planets. And we need to orbit around him and not other things. So he's the center of our life and he needs to be.
Anyone else want to talk? Katie, you weren't in the video. Alex, you weren't in the video. Oh, Alex, okay. I was told to give you.
Okay. What I learned from Challenge was that when you're in like a situation of trying to bring like your friends or people you know to Christ, that your first like goal shouldn't be to just automatically change them. You need to first like show them God's love, because that's the only way you're going to get through to them.
Anyone else? Oh, Martin called you out.
I mean, like Brian talked about it a little, like how, well, everyone talked about it, like how God's the center of our life, but like that was especially important to me, like when they talked about like separation, like oftentimes like we view our sin like it's about us, but one of the speakers made like an incredibly like perspective shifting point, like our sin is more about us like defiling the greatness of God than it is about our moral depravity. So like we think that our goodness, like I don't know, it's just like mind-blowing when you actually think about how we are like defiling the greatness of God when we sin. Like it's not just about us, it's about him in every aspect of our life.
So do you remember the analogy? Okay, so the analogy was you're walking down the road and you accidentally bump in this guy and you knock him into the mud. Well, as soon as you knock him into mud, you get thrown in jail. And you're in jail for years and years and years. And you stop, like you're not thinking about what you did. You start to think about, who was this man that I pushed, just this little push, and I've been in jail for this long? Like, who is this person? And so our sin is more about us defiling the greatness of God and the glory of God than it is about our moral depravity. That was an awesome point. Anyone else? All right, go ahead and grab a seat, everyone but Cam. I got to room with Cam for a week. Greg got to too. Greg got shoved in the hole between the bed and the wall, and Greg had to learn how to defend himself against Cameron and Kenny. But
There was a lot of energy in my room. But one of the coolest parts about our room is I needed Greg for something because someone needed to talk to me. And so I grabbed Greg and I said, "Hey, Greg, we got to go." And he's like, "Hey, I'm having a good talk with Kenny." I said, "Well, okay, we'll come back. We'll finish this talk with Kenny. I need you." He's like, "Okay, well." So they wrap up, and Cam and Kenny, at night, you guys are kind of left alone because the leaders met, you know, needed some time away from you guys. And not just you, all of them. And so Kenny and Cam were starting to have great conversations. And so when Greg and I got back in the room, I said, "All right, Kenny, we're having the conversation now." He's like, "Well, what do you want to do? What do you want to talk about?" And so we just start talking. He's like, "Let's tell secrets." I was like, "Okay, go ahead." He's like, "Well, I've already told you mine." I was like, "Well, I'm not gonna what?" So he, you know, then we started talking about what was going on in his life, and I said, "You know, I really don't care what you've done. What I care about is where you are with Jesus." So we started talking through what it means to be a Christian. And Kenny's someone that's been around our church for 4 years, 3 years, at youth group and stuff. And so he, like, "Hey, what do you believe about Jesus?" "Oh, he's God." "Well, what do you need for forgiveness?" "Well, you need Jesus." "Well, you need to be forgiven." "Well, or you need to be saved." "What does it mean to be saved?" "I don't know." He's like, I didn't know. Like, everyone else knew, so I just assume I knew. You know, I didn't know anything. So we started talking through it, and I tried to talk him out of getting saved, and then when I realized that I talked him out of it, I tried to talk him, "Hey, well, no, this is the decision you want to make now." Well, because one of the things you want is, at a trip like this, you want someone to understand the cost of salvation. Like, this isn't just, "Hey, I'm on a high, let's go, yeah, Jesus," and then I come home, and it meant nothing. So, hey, I talked through how it's going to cost him his life. Well, Kenny says, "Hey, I want to do this. I believe this." So, like, we celebrated. We did a little dance, jumping, and went from guy room, dancing and jumping in the middle of the night. Yeah, it was probably 1 a.m. We were breaking curfew. Sorry, parents. Well, we get in the room, and Kenny says this. Kenny says, "This all started with Cam. If Cam and I wouldn't have had the conversations that I had, we would have never had this conversation." See, you never know what God's going to use. And Cam, in all of his silliness and funness, had no clue the spiritual impact or influence that he was going to have on Kenny. See, we are called to live the story and to tell the story. And sometimes God uses some of us to live the story and others to tell the story, and that's perfectly fine because it's all about the end that we go to be with Jesus. And it's fun for me to hear Kenny say that. And Kenny wasn't prompted. It came from him. And so we want you guys, just be praying for Kenny. You know, our heart is that he would follow Jesus. And we'll do our best to follow up with him. You can grab a seat, buddy. Thank you. Yeah. But all in all, it's about us understanding that we are created to bring glory to God. It's not about us. We are separate. We are separated from God. We're separated by our sin. And our sinfulness, when we sin, it's us defaming the glory of God. But he promised us a way. And even when he's silent, he's still at work. And that way is through Jesus. And we are called to community, to be with each other. We are called to live the story in action. We're called to tell the story in word. And we are called to live with the end in focus. How's your perspective? Is God the center? Or are you? It's something to wrestle with. Do you understand the depths of your sinfulness? The disgustingness of your sin? As I was thinking through this service, one of the things I think about is, in America, a lot of times we ask the question, why me? Like, why do I get to go be with Jesus? And that is such the wrong question. Why me brings it back to about me. The question, the thought shouldn't be why me, but thank you, Jesus. Because when we ask the why me question, we don't understand the depths of our depravity, the depths of our sin, and how utterly sinful we are. As we are blessed to live in a country where we can speak the truth, and it's not cost us very much. We have a little time. A little time on this earth. We need to live with the end in focus. Let's pray. You are love. I don't know what else to say. I don't deserve forgiveness. But yet you have given it to me. Father, revamp my heart. Change my heart. Do the work in my heart. Do the work in our hearts. Lord, help us to recognize that we're all so sinful. Father, there's no one in here that is more sinful than anyone else. And help us to recognize that we need you. And help us to remember the cost of our forgiveness. And Father, help it to compel us to action. Lord, thank you for your work. Thank you for your love and your grace. In your name I pray. Amen.